locally. Listen locally. Real Country. 1430 AM at 107.3 FM. WRDN.
Been a little shy. I've always been the quiet type till now. And I never let my feelings show.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Divisions remain within the Democratic Party and President Biden over his re-election bid. Talks continue despite the majority of Democratic lawmakers publicly standing behind him as the nominee after the president signaled he would not drop out. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says he thinks the president can win in November, but acknowledged concerns remain in his caucus.
We're going to continue to have candid, comprehensive, and clear-eyed conversations with members of the House Democratic Caucus. That's been the approach that we've taken from the very beginning of this Congress. It's worked, and it will continue.
President Biden speaking at the NATO summit being held in Washington, D.C. He says the alliance is stronger than ever and also facing more present-day threats. Searing temperatures taxing residents in Texas as they try to recover from Hurricane Beryl this week. More than a million customers remain without power and remnants of Beryl now bringing heavy rain to the Northeast along with the threat of flash flooding and tornado outbreaks. This is ABC News. For over a century, vending machines have made it easy and convenient to buy candy, snacks, soft drinks, and cigarettes. Now a Texas company is adding bullets into the mix.
In convenience stores in Alabama, Oklahoma, and here in Texas, a company called American Rounds has installed vending machines that dispense ammunition, but only after the purchaser scans a valid ID into the device.
Then it's going to do a facial recognition to match that person's face to the picture on the ID.
Company founder Grant Major says it's more reliable than online ammo purchases, which also are legal.
It's very easy to click on a website and say, yes, I am 21.
He says his vending machines verify it. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
A new discovery from the American Revolution. Five musket balls were recently unearthed at Minuteman National Historical Park. That's north of Boston. Experts say they were fired at British soldiers in 1775 during the event known as the Shot Heard Round the World. They'll now be on display at a local museum. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Presenting Again Fling's Love Story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
Life hack number 7. Get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher-end auto-pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Allen. A Milwaukee County judge says protesters aren't allowed to march within the Republican National Convention security zone.
The judge ruled late Monday that protesters have a constitutional right to march during the RNC, but not wherever or however they want. The American Civil Liberties Union sued the city last month. ACLU wanted a ruling that would allow protesters to march a different route than that designated by the city, including through the hard security perimeter. While the judge mostly thinks the security plan is reasonable, he did rule in the ACLU's favor on one point. The city cannot deny protest permits to people with criminal histories. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The UW Board of Regents approves pay raises for 8 of the system's 13 chancellors.
The biggest payday goes to UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin, who will see a 10% increase. That'll boost her base salary to around $892,000. She is then in line for a $150,000 retention bonus next year, so that'll push her paycheck to just over $1 million. Mnookin will then receive $50,000 retention bonuses in the years 2026 through 2029. Chancellors in Platteville, Green Bay, Superior, Stevens Point, Whitewater, Parkside, and Stout were also given smaller raises. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Expanded Amtrak service in Wisconsin is deemed a success.
More than 18,500 passengers rode Borealis trains between St. Paul and Chicago during the first full month of operations. According to preliminary figures from Amtrak, that's an average of about 300 aboard each eastbound and westbound train. Borealis is operated daily by Amtrak under contracts with Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Illinois. Trains originate from St. Paul at midday and Chicago in the late morning. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true. We take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny skies and summery highs, returning to the low 80s once again. Some spotty showers and storms may fire up late this afternoon, producing some heavy downpours and frequent lightning. Otherwise, patchy fog building in overnight and another sunny day on tap tomorrow. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Right now, 81 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Moving the farm bill forward is not on the agenda. We'll talk with a member about the status of the farm bill. And it's Wednesday and time for the Farmer Forum. Let's find out what's happening with crops in Kansas and Nebraska and what Ken and Randy are thinking about.
Live with an exaggerated standard of living via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Ken McCauley and Randy Ermacher. Directly following the news, Margie Echocamp from The Scoop. I'm the handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now say hello to your beloved host, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Maybe you got to rein it in a bit, buddy. Maybe you just got to rein it in.
Rein it in. You know, if life is unaffordable, maybe it's time to lower my standards just a little bit. I mean, you know, that's what America is all about, the low bar, right? Let's bring it down a little bit.
Right.
I'm sitting here in my underwear. That's step one. I'm just giving up.
Just giving up. Giving up. Welcome to Agri. Don't give up, man.
All
Do not
right.
give up.
Well, they are fruit of the loom boxers. You know, quality. Quality American cotton.
Oh, man. TMI. Mm-hmm. TMI right there. Welcome to Agri Talk. I'm Chip. Yeah. That is Davis. We've got a great show today. My gosh. Yeah. I had a conversation with U.S. Senator Joni Ernst earlier this morning. We talked Farm Bill. We talked RFS. We talked used cooking oil. We talked Joe Biden.
Wow.
We covered a lot of ground in the conversation this morning. You want to hear this one.
How many segments was all that to fit in?
That's one.
That's one.
Just one. One segment.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we got it in there, and great conversation with the senator this morning. So looking forward to that. And then we'll get reaction to the comments from Senator Ernst from Ken McCauley in Kansas, Randy Ermacher out in Nebraska. That should be a red hot farmer forum for today.
Yeah. I think I'm kind of excited about today's show.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm worked up.
Attaboy. Good for you.
All right, let's get to the news. What do you got?
I'm going to start with the weather, where the remnants of Beryl, which was downgraded from a hurricane to a tropical depression, the remnants will move through the Ohio Valley and Northeast today with heavy rainfall, which may bring flooding and a few severe thunderstorms with damaging winds and tornadoes. A dangerous heat wave with record temperatures is expected to continue across much of the western U.S., with hot temperatures for parts of North Carolina through southern New England. Chip, it seems like it's a thing. People are going out to Death Valley right now to sort of take in the heat, and unfortunately, some of them are finding out the heat can be life-threatening.
Yeah, I don't know why you would want to travel to one of the hottest places on Earth when
it's got death
it's one of the hottest
name.
Times of the of the year, and the name of the place has death in it.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested.
Don't go there.
No.
In other news, a USDA daily export sale was reported, 132,000 metric tons of soybeans to China in the 24-25 marketing year. Some beans to China here, Chip, on a daily sale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes me wonder exactly about some of those bean sales to unknown. I thought those were probably into Europe, into Rotterdam, but maybe China's been getting involved.
Well, cattle futures repeated Monday's price action yesterday, in which gains early in the session gave way to a late sell-off that produced a sharply lower close. The futures price pattern this week is not only concerning, but could impact cash cattle trade, with cash sources expecting steady at best cash cattle trade and some calling for a downturn after four weeks of record prices. Chip?
Yeah, you know, the calls on cash have been mostly steady for the last month, and we've put together four consecutive weeks of record high cash cattle trade. Let's not rule it out for this week either. The demand is really good. Now, the boxed beef market yesterday got smoked, down $4.80-some on the heavyweight choices. So that might be a bit of a reason for the cash market to at least hold steady.
Well, Fed Chair Jerome Powell informed Congress that the commercial property industry may face stress for years. He emphasized that banks must assess their risks honestly and ensure they have the capital, liquidity, and systems to manage these risks. Powell noted a noticeable cooling in the job market, with the unemployment rate rising to 4.1% for the third consecutive month. Powell emphasized that while significant progress has been made in controlling inflation, it remains above the Federal Reserve's 2% target.
Yeah, well, not only is the unemployment rate up to 4%, should also be saying, and revisions to past performance, and revisions to past payroll expansion numbers. It's not as hot as indicated on the initial release.
Well, the U.S. housing market is experiencing an unusual situation where both new and existing home inventories are rising, yet home prices are also increasing. Currently, there is a 9-month supply of newly built homes, nearly three times that of existing homes. New construction now makes up 30% of total inventory, double the historical share. Lawmakers are targeting December for a spending deal as they work on fiscal year 2025 spending plans. Despite efforts by the House and Senate before the August recess, they acknowledge the inability to finalize the measures before the August 1 start of fiscal year 2025.
Yeah.
President Biden is hosting global leaders in Washington for the annual NATO summit, aiming to show unity on key issues. Ukraine wants more money, I think, is one of the takeaways there. Panama Canal is holding talks with community leaders of Rio Indio about building a new $1.6 billion reservoir along the Indio River to increase the canal's water supply. Chip, over to
you.
All
right. Excellent. Thank you, Davis. Margie Ekelkamp, editor of The Scoop. Good morning, Margie.
Hey, Chip. Good morning.
So what is the future of mineral? Tell me about it.
Yeah, so for folks who need a little bit more familiarity, Mineral was really the ag tech startup within Google and its parent company, Alphabet. It was founded in 2018, and then last year was spun out as a standalone subsidiary of Alphabet. Well, 6 years after its founding, it has been announced that Alphabet, it will be dispersing the technology developed there and selling it and licensing to various agribusinesses. Now, one of those destinations we know, which is Driscoll's, a well-known berry company, they worked with Mineral to develop a very advanced in-field and post-harvest detection system for overall fruit quality. So analyzing strawberries and other fresh produce using machine learning and artificial intelligence to make sure that they were harvesting and storing those berries at optimum conditions. So what else did Mineral develop that now we will find out where it all lands? Well, they have a pretty significant phenotyping database and analysis. They have even more in terms of machine learning and artificial intelligence. And they also have a four-wheeled rover that they were developing for data collection. In all, I think there's 20-some patents. Now, I think it's important to note, Mineral never intended to sell anything directly to farmers. So this isn't a product that was never going to be this way. It's kind of a natural iteration, but interesting to watch.
Yeah. It's about developing technology more so than developing a specific product. So I think
it's... Product and marketing. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. Margie, good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Chip.
All right, Margie Echocamp, editor of The Scoop. Get more on the story at www.thedailyscoop.com. Senator Ernst is next.
Whatever crop you grow, we can help you protect it. Bootstrapped and ready to serve, Atticus delivers battle-tested chemistries, AIs that you've come to trust and rely on from a manufacturer that strives to operate in a way that makes us accessible, responsive, and reliable. Our relevant portfolio is ready to protect your battlefields and livelihood. No matter the pest, weather, or politics, Atticus and your American farmer tenacity is battle ready. Meet your ally, AtticusLLC.com.
Feel the cow by feeding her rumen first. Zinpro Isoferm is a breakthrough, the essential nutrient your herd needs. Designed to enhance rumen function by directly feeding the fiber-digesting microbes, Zinpro Isoferm enables dairy cows to be better cows, creating game-changing production efficiency, productivity, and profitability. Visit Zinpro.com/Isoferm to learn more. That's Zinpro.com/Isoferm.
Farming is unlike any other job in the world. It takes years of experience to really walk the walk. Same goes for your financial partner, which is why choosing FBN Finance makes so much sense. FBN Finance was created by farmers to help you become even more competitive with flexible terms, rates, and instant approvals up to $2.5 million for qualified applicants. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Are you prepared?
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Atticus, providing battle-tested chemistries you know and trust.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning. It has already been an eventful week in Washington, D.C. NATO conference is in the city, and the Democratic Party is trying to figure out if they can stay competitive in the presidential race. That is obviously the big story of the week. Joining us now to add perspective is U.S. Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa. Senator Ernst, welcome back to AgriTalk.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Chip. Thank you. It is a busy week in D.C.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I want to stay directly on show topic, Senator, to start with the farm bill. We've had some tell us we'll get a farm bill done in a lame duck session. Others say the farm bill will have to wait until next year. You are a member of the Senate Ag Committee. What's your take? What is the situation?
Well, I would love to see a farm bill done in a lame duck session, but I just don't believe that that is actually going to happen. I do think that we will bring it back up at the beginning of next year. We will get right back at it and hopefully have a good product that can actually pass through the House and through the Senate. But right now, we do not see our chairwoman, Debbie Stabenow, focusing on the farm bill. We have an ag committee this morning. I'll be heading off to that shortly. And you know what we're studying? Oversight of digital commodities. We're not working on the farm bill. So that tells me that she does not intend to move a farm bill this year. Otherwise, we would continue working on it. The hope is early next spring. And I hate that. I hate it for our farmers. I hate it for the producers.
Right. Right. If the farm bill gets into 2025, Senator, doesn't it almost guarantee that it's going to be a 2026 bill because of the need to focus on appropriations?
Well, what I could anticipate is that we will take up the farm bill that has been completed by the House, assuming that the House stays under Republican leadership. We can use that as a blueprint. We can use what we have worked on so far in the Senate as a blueprint. So it's not like we're starting from scratch. We could go ahead and take up those bills, combine them, and hopefully get them over the finish line very soon. Right. We would like to see that right now, but Chairwoman will not move on what the House has done.
Okay. Well, and it's almost to the point now that with some projections that the Senate control is going to go to the GOP. Does the GOP start to drag their feet, your feet, a bit here in anticipation that you can have more say over what is in the Senate bill?
Well, that's some of the thought, too, is that if we aren't going to see more farm in the farm bill, if we feel that we will be holding the gavel in January of next year, then, of course, Senate Republicans would much rather wait where we can actually strip out a lot of these pet projects that deal more with the Green New Deal rather than the farm. We would like to see a lot more for our farmers, for heaven's sakes. You know, Chip, it's called the Farm Bill.
I get it. Absolutely. What is the status on EPA's implementation of the renewable fuels standard? Are they on schedule?
Oh, Chip, no, they are not. And again, another great frustration. The EPA just recently announced that they are not going to meet the deadline to release the 2026 renewable fuel standard VOs, the volumes for biofuels. They are not planning on having a final rule done until December of next year. So, yeah, this is a kick in the seat to our biofuel producers. This is just ridiculous. The Biden administration, while they claim to want to be green, they pick and choose who they will support. And right now they are not supporting our biofuel producers.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the situation around used cooking oil imports qualifying for the biofuel tax credits? Okay, what should be done there?
Absolutely, I am. I am very frustrated. And this is where we really have to work with the EPA. We have to refine the definitions there. And for those that haven't tracked this, we are importing a lot of supposedly used cooking oil products. And what we're finding is that oftentimes it's not actually used cooking oil. You've probably never seen a French fry in that cooking oil. It's just being imported from other countries. They're disposing of it in the U.S. They're getting tax credits for it instead of utilizing used cooking oil resources here in the United States. So we have all of this being dumped into the United States. Our producers are losing out. So again, refining the definition and limiting what can be brought into the United States. But again, we have to work with the EPA. We should probably drag in the U.S. trade rep. You know, she certainly is not working on anything for our farm folks. So let's get her involved as well. But we've got to have those hard discussions. But again, this administration, they are just not moving on anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, based on the Supreme Court decision recently on Chevron deference, upcoming legislation is going to have to include a whole lot more detail on enforcement than what past legislation has. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I relish the thought, because control should go back to Congress. Our congressional intent, what we put into the laws that we write, should follow our intent. We are elected by the people that we represent. Bureaucrats sitting out in these agencies do not represent our constituencies, and they are the ones that are making up the rules. So for the Supreme Court to rule the way they did on Chevron deference is incredible. It means that our congressional intent, when we're actually voting on a bill and it becomes a law, that our intent will be followed, not twisted around by some guy that's sitting in a cubicle somewhere in downtown D.C., like somebody at USDA who's never even been on a farm. So I love the ruling that came out from the Supreme Court. I think this was a significant win for all of our states.
Okay. Well said. Well said. We have spent some time discussing the situation the Democratic Party is in regarding the abilities of President Biden. The party held a closed door meeting yesterday. What's the chatter about what happened in that
law that our intent will be followed, not twisted around by some guy that's sitting in a cubicle somewhere in downtown D.C., like somebody at USDA who's never even been on a farm. So I love the ruling that came out from the Supreme Court. I think this was a significant win for all of our states.
Okay. Well said. Well said. We have spent some time discussing the situation the Democratic Party is in regarding the abilities of President Biden. The party held a closed-door meeting yesterday. What's the chatter about what happened in that?
Around so badly, they will not speak. All they can say is that it was a really great discussion. That's it. Okay, our public can see. You can see what we're dealing with here in Washington, D.C., Chip, and you can tell I am extremely frustrated. You know, personally, I feel for some of these Senate Democrats having to go through all of this with such a weak, feeble-minded president. I have gone off on this before, but I worry about our nation. Politically, I'm like, oh, yes, President Trump is going to stroll into the White House with very little effort. That's great for us. Get rid of Joe Biden. But in the meantime, we have about six more months under President Biden where our national security is at risk. We will not see anything moving through the Senate, through the House, and signed into law because he simply is not engaged. I don't know that he has the capabilities to be engaged.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the timing is terrible with the NATO conference in D.C. because it's a U.S. issue. It's a domestic issue, but it's also a global issue that's creating some real international risk for the U.S. Am I overstating that?
You are not overstating it, but this has been going on for years, Chip, years. And these Democrats and the left-leaning media has covered for Joe Biden for so long. I have been talking about this for years. I have a friend, a congressman that's a Democrat in the House. He is a veteran. He has been talking about this for years, about the inability of President Joe Biden to lead. When I travel internationally, whether I'm talking about ag, whether I'm talking about national defense, world leaders are saying, where is American leadership? They are very concerned.
Very, very quickly, is he going to be on the ballot in November?
I have been saying for the last year, there's no way he can be the candidate on their ticket.
Okay.
I used to say I was a conspiracy theorist. Now I don't think I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
I think it's they're going to have to replace him. I don't know how he gets through the rest of the year.
Senator Ernst, thank you so much for your time. We certainly appreciate it. Be safe.
Yes, thanks so much, Chip.
You bet. Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa will be back with Farmer Forum next on AgriTalk.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Milk markets are mixed. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnikins reporting from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. August milk down 9 to 2004, September up 2 to 2058, October up 8 to 2050, and November steady at 20 even. Meanwhile, in the livestock sector at the Mercantile Exchange, live cattle and feeder cattle markets continue to move mostly lower as the demand concerns now have crept into the market after the big drop in boxed beef prices yesterday, and looks like there might be another drop today, and long liquidation continuing. Hog markets also continue to move mostly lower, and it's the same story. That demand concern is helping to pressure the hog markets. August live cattle down 10 cents to 182.25. August feeder cattle down $1.07 to 254.65. July hogs down 57 cents to 88.75. Meanwhile, in the grain markets today at the Board of Trade, corn markets are still slightly higher in the nearby months, lower in deferreds. Soybeans moving mostly lower, wheat moving mostly lower as well. Positive weather for the row crops helping to pressure the markets as the rain from the remnants of Hurricane Beryl helping to provide the moisture and some additional warmth in the markets as well, or warmth in the weather forecast for those row crops, pressuring prices. New crop corn now down 1 to 407.5. New crop beans down 6.5 to 1073.5. July wheat down 12 and a quarter.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Wednesday morning for the free-for-all. Let's bring them in. Ken McCauley, Northeast Kansas. Ken, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
Oh, morning, Chip. I'm doing great. It's a nice warm morning with moisture in the ground. You can't beat it. Corn's happy. Everything's looking good around here.
Good. Well, we're going to get into some more detail there. Just hang tight. Let's bring in Randy Urmacher in central Nebraska. Randy, I've got my cup of Folgers ready to go here this morning. How are you doing?
You do? I'm good. I have my good coffee this morning. But I'm doing really good. A lot less stress this year than we have the last 2 years. I've ran one fast circle of putting on a half inch of water to set tracks, and that's all we've irrigated yet. So corn's looking pretty decent, except for where, you know, we got caught with a little bit of wind or hail. But, I'm living stress-free compared to the last 2 years this year.
Okay, so that hail stripe, Randy, where was that located? Yours, what, around the Hastings area, right?
Yeah, that was to the northeast. The last one was to the northeast of us, and where we got caught was more of our northeast farms. Got in on a little bit of that, but the rest of it in the middle, we've got some leaning corn and a little bit broke off, but really I'm pretty satisfied with the way it fared out.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a central Nebraska growing season at this point for you, does it?
Not after the last 2 years.
I mean,
this is, I guess we're above normal now with precip and, as far as that goes. But, man, we had a deficit to make up, so we finally, I think, about got there.
Okay. All right. Have you been out to take a look? Are you dealing with any diseases or insects that we need to be aware of?
I've looked at a little bit, and there's a little gray leaf and a few things showing up, but we've got tassels shooting now, so we'll be putting on our fungicide and insecticide here in the next few weeks and addressing those problems as they happen.
Right. Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. Hang tight. Ken, how's things looking there in northeast Kansas? It's been a pretty good spot the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, Chip. And it's a good spot again. We've missed the heavy rains. We've had plenty, but you go west not too far, like I usually say, and they've had more rain. And I went over to just west 10 miles this morning to Hiawatha, and man, you can see the wet spots showing up. So, it's good, but it's not good everywhere. So, but the, corn looks great. There were fungicides mostly all on. Spray planes are going wild around here. And, I would say it'll be done. Most of it will be done this week, but, corn looks great. We haven't seen any disease. We've been watching for tar spot and haven't seen or heard anything, but guys are looking really close. Hopefully this fungicide pass will take care of that.
Yeah. Does pretty much everybody just plan on that first pass now in your area, Ken? Fungicides are going to happen?
I think so. There's guys that still watch it close, and some don't do it if they don't see it, but I'd say for sure 75% gets applied with the air. And then I'd say closer to all the soybeans get a fungicide treatment just for the things that happen in soybeans. But we sure had the moisture and humidity and fog and everything to cause any disease. So we're just trying to prevent it.
Right. Right. What about you, Randy? Is that first pass with a fungicide? Is that on everybody's plans?
It's pretty much automatic on all the irrigated ground anymore, I think. At least as far as we go. I don't know what the percentage is overall, but it's a pretty high percentage. And I apologize, it's northwest of us, not northeast. I was having a little brain lapse there when I said northeast. So I was thinking we were east of the strip. So
there you go. Gotcha. Okay. Okay, Randy, you didn't say anything about soybeans. How's that crop looking?
The soybeans are looking pretty typical, I think, in our area. As far as fungicides, people in our area just can't get that to pay out. I mean, we've tried it a few times, and you may get a bushel bump, but, you know, that's about it. And I don't know what's different about our area than a lot of others, but we just don't see the consistency of fungicide and insecticide on soybeans. So you just kind of monitor them as you go.
Okay. All right. Sounds like you guys are off and rolling, keeping an eye on the crops for pests and diseases, but everything, it's green light. Let's go and let's build a big crop. So from that perspective, Randy, you're probably not too surprised by the way that this corn market has been performing, huh?
Well, looking out our back door, it's probably performing about right. But, you know, I follow a couple guys on YouTube and watch what they're doing, and there's a lot of struggles around the country. And it makes me wonder, you know, how big of an area that struggle area is. And, you know, I've always said you don't set records when you have somebody having problems.
Right. Exactly. So, okay, Ken, the conversation that we just had with Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa, did anything catch your ear in that conversation that we need to emphasize?
Well, there's a lot of things, Chip, but, you know, I'm not surprised on the farm bill conversation. I don't know that any farmer's going to be unhappy with leaving it alone into the, you know, the next year and really being able to plan ahead for what we've got. I was really worried that all this, the climate things were going to really influence the farm bill, and it doesn't look like so far anyway. So, you know, going past this election, it, you know, it could be good or bad, but it probably be about the same path. So let's keep with what we got on that. But, you know, working on the RFS when I did, the EPA having the final say was really bothersome, and I voiced it a lot. And we're realizing how bad a deal that really was. But, you know, when we did it, that was really the only way we could get that done. And I didn't think it was a good plan, but, you know, looking back, it was a good thing. But now EPA is just, the environmental groups are running the show, and it's not good because we're getting left out of a lot of good things that we could be really taking advantage of. And that's why the market's the way it is, I think.
Yeah. Just as a reminder to everyone, Ken was president of the National Corn Growers Association. What year was it, Ken?
2007. That's a long time ago now.
2007, but right in the heart of the RFS effort.
Yeah, it was. And I got to meet, you know, with a lot of different groups that you know, they acted like, you know, we're good with this, we're good with that. They offered us the advanced biofuel option, but there were so many strings we knew was going to happen there. So we didn't go that route. And here we are today talking about SAF and advanced everything. Yeah. And we could be right there if we could have set the stage in the law, but couldn't get that accomplished. But man, looking back, we set the stage for a lot of things that if we had the right things with EPA or the right clout with them, I guess, that we could be right in a go hole with this, with the SAF, if the EPA and the right people would just say, okay, we're going to help you instead of hurt you.
Right. Randy, what's your thoughts on that? And you know, the conversations that Senator Ernst, or the comments that Senator Ernst made regarding Chevron deference, and that the laws are going to have to contain a lot more detail going forward. What's your take on that?
Well, I think that's the right route to take. And, you know, we're talking about that used cooking oil coming over. I have no problem with using used cooking oil, but giving tax credits to foreign countries that are bringing in oil that's, even oil that's not used, you know, I have a problem with that. So, you know, I don't know. I just, it's one of them things you just scratch your head and, you know, we could make a whole show out of the political climate of this country, and we'd need a lot more disclaimers on this show to start with it. So probably better not get in the mud too far.
Well, but here's the thing. She said it very, very specifically. What is happening with the imports of used cooking oil was not the congressional intent. And there needs to be a congressional fix to go along with that.
And I agree with that.
Right.
Yeah. So don't leave it up to the interpretation of the bureaucrats in any of the agencies. Put it in the law. And for 40 years, Ken, they haven't had to do that. And now all of a sudden they've got to.
But the bureaucrats don't change. I mean, you could say you change administrations and that'll change. The bureaucrats in there, they're going to have their same opinions down the road as they have today and yesterday. So, you know, this Chevron decision was huge. Mm-hmm. If we can get Congress behind us and do it right down the road, because we get the opinions of those longtime lifers out of the mix,
yep,
and we can gain some ground.
Darn right. Okay. We are off and running with the Farmer Forum. Randy Ermacher from Nebraska, Ken McCauley from Kansas. What's occupying their think time? That's what we're going to talk about next here on AgriTalk.
The Farm First Dairy Cooperative wants to recognize our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, train young farm leaders, and is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to members. Thank you, dairy farm families, for all of your hard work. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how Farm First puts farm families first.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
I can't believe tax season is here already. But look at all this info I have to enter.
Phil's small accounting firm is growing in numbers.
Why didn't I take that typing class in high school?
A data entry specialist could really help him in a crunch.
I got blisters on my fingers.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Ben Sloan is the VP of Strategy and Product for Agribusiness at Everett Ag. He joins us right now. Ben, Fieldalytics, tell me about it.
So Fieldalytics is an agronomy operations platform primarily used by ag retailers to both handle their precision agronomy needs, but also providing an integrated solution not only to their ERP and blenders, but to a holistic work order management system, enabling them to leverage all of their data sets to execute on work for growers effectively.
Okay, precision agronomy needs, all on one platform, is that what this is?
That's correct. So we've connected all of your classic precision agronomy needs, like management zones, fertility prescriptions, yield data, and we've integrated that into a singular platform where we can bring those data sets over seamlessly to go execute on the work for a grower.
Okay, I can see how it makes the ag retailer's business run more smoothly, but from a producer's point of view, what are they benefiting?
I think a big component of that is transparency and understanding when and what the work is that the ag retailer is doing for them today.
Thank you, Ben. That is Ben Sloan, Vice President of Strategy and Product at EverAg.
To learn more, visit ever.ag. The Scoop Business Innovation Award, sponsored by EverAg Agribusiness, recognizes ag retailers who demonstrate a digital transformation in their business. This includes ag retailers that are elevating their agronomics and business data to better serve customers and build a sustainable business. It will be awarded to a single ag retail location in the U.S. and, of course, to its team. The winner will receive two registrations to the 2024 ARA Conference and Expo entitled Powering Ag Retail's Next Frontier. That is December 3rd through the 5th in Houston, Texas. Hey, the deadline to apply is August 1.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Fuel the cow by feeding her rumen first. Zinpro Isoferm is a breakthrough, the essential nutrient your herd needs. Designed to enhance rumen function by directly feeding the fiber-digesting microbes, Zinpro Isoferm enables dairy cows to be better cows, creating game-changing production efficiency, productivity, and profitability. Visit Zinpro.com/Isoferm to learn more. That's Zinpro.com/Isoferm.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are into the home stretch of the Farmer Forum here on AgriTalk. We've got Ken McCauley from Kansas, Randy Ermacher from Nebraska. All right, I'm going to do it with you guys. This is, I know that this is risky, but I'm just going to ask it straight out. Randy, what are you thinking about? What's on your mind?
Well, crop marketing for one, you know, what's going to happen? How many acres are actually damaged with floods and hail? Stuff like that and trying to get a feel for it, that and then the demand as far as exports and then you got the RFS and all that. There's a lot of things on my mind, and it just kind of goes in spurts everywhere, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you the obvious. Where does President Biden fit on the list of things that occupy your time? I mean, do you think about the condition of the President of the United States much?
Well, it's worrisome, and you wonder who's actually running the country, because obviously,
right,
the last 4 years, he has not been running the country. He can't be in that kind of condition, and that's probably as worrisome as anything, is not knowing exactly who's pulling all the strings there.
Yeah. Now, Trump can beat Biden. Can Trump beat a replacement for Biden? Your thoughts?
I think so. I hope so, anyhow. You know, I really struggle with this. If they appoint somebody to take his place, we're definitely not in a democracy anymore, and everything's being pulled, our strings are being pulled by someone or something or several people up above, and that's really concerning if that happens. And, the Democrats have kind of got themselves in a pickle, in my opinion, letting this go this long and then all of a sudden wanting to replace him. It's like,
yeah,
you can't do that and still call it a democracy. I'm sorry.
Right, right. Okay, Ken, what's on your mind?
Well, I'll echo everything Randy just said, because I totally agree with that. It's on my mind every day, Chip. Watching Biden for the last 3.5 years has been just crazy. But, you don't know what's going to happen with any of the presidents, but I'm taking the chance and the bet that Trump would be the better choice. If he has to campaign against somebody else, politics tell you that they probably don't have enough time to get the confidence to pull the middle in, and I'm hoping for that. But you hear all that when you look at anybody like say over 70 or whatever my age, mm-hmm. and they start talking about how they're going to tax you if Biden stays in there, and he's not going to be accountable to anybody. And, right. you know, the people running the show, he's still accountable to them. But any president that isn't accountable is probably going to try to do anything he wants to do, even if he's not thinking straight. So that's a big worry to me that, you know, are they just going to wreck the next generation or forever of agriculture? Right. Because that's where everything settles into.
Right. Right. Interesting. Interesting. You want to know one thing that I'm thinking about, and it hits me almost every day. I mean, almost every day, is the White House press briefings with KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre. You guys, she's not doing anything to make the situation any better. Randy, do you watch any of it?
I have watched enough to know I don't want to watch very much of it. So it's kind of a circus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I went, what was it, Michaela, Trump's old press secretary back. No, he was good. So
yeah, I hear you. No, that's something that's on my mind, Ken. The messaging from the White House right now is terrible. And I get it when they don't have a lot of positives to message, but they could have a better spokesperson, and it makes me crazy.
Well, she shoots from the hip all the time, and then they backtrack, and you can call it lying, but you know, I'm not sure she's lying. The fact is just she may just be making up her own version, and then she has to backtrack, but it's not helping them a bit.
Right. Anyway. Okay. All right. So, let's finish with this, guys. Give me something positive that's happening in your area. Or could be national, could be global. Give me something positive that's happening. But even if it's just a good time parade in your hometown, give me something, Randy.
Well, there was a nice golf cart parade on the 5th of July at the lake. That's one good thing. Another good thing is, you know, our cash corn prices really haven't moved all year, even though the futures prices have gone down. So that tells me the end user is still needing corn. They're still profitable buying this corn and using it. So, you know, that's one of the positive things I've seen from the year so far.
Excellent. Excellent. Ken, what about you?
Well, when you think about the markets, you know, $4 used to sound pretty good. I'm still thinking $4 is pretty good for the yields we're going to have. And if you're in a problem where you don't have the yield, that's not good, but you've got your other crop insurance. So, you know, maybe this is a level out point and we can hold it here. So I think the price isn't all that bad and the corn looks really good. And, you know, it's nice weather and over in Missouri where we're going to the lake tomorrow, so it's a good thing, Chip.
Fantastic, you guys. Ken, thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Chip. Good to be back.
You bet. Glad you are. Randy Ermacher there in central Nebraska. Stay hydrated, my friend.
We're doing it.
Excellent. Well, fantastic.
Right, thanks for having us, Chip.
You bet. Thanks. You bet. Randy Ermacher in Nebraska, Ken McCauley in Kansas, thank you for listening this morning. We are going to have a conversation this afternoon with Jared Creed, JC Marketing. You want to talk about working crop insurance into a marketing strategy? We'll do it this afternoon and tomorrow morning. We'll be right back at 10:06 Central.
Bugs can wreak havoc on post-harvest stored grain and eat away at your bottom line. Protecting grain is key to protecting your profits. Thankfully, Gravista D Insecticide, a combination adulticide, synergist, and insect growth regulator, is designed as the ideal on-farm solution to help control these bugs and help you reduce, shrink, and insect damage kernels by up to 18%. Protect your grain with Gravista D Insecticide from Central Life Sciences. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn more.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look